We now look to our, excuse me, our brother John to lead us for the partaking of the bread and wine through words of exhortation. Brother John, please.
My dear brothers and sisters, it's only in the last 3 or 4 weeks that we have finished reading through the Psalms, and therefore I thought it may be beneficial and profitable by way of exhortation to read about a man described in the scriptures as one after God's own heart. It's just nothing deep, just to ponder at certain situations in the life of David that shaped his character. And perhaps it may also help us to shape our lives by a faithful application of the word of God, just as David did. Not, of course, that we are going to experience anything like killing a lion or a bear or even a heathen giant, but just to consider David's reaction to perhaps what proved to be a long and difficult period of trial and tribulation. In the second book of Samuel, the 12th chapter, we read these words at the 9th verse. You probably know the situation very well. It's after David had taken Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, and laid with her. And then David had caused Uriah's death through the children of Ammon by having him put in the forefront of the battle by Joab, his commander. And we have here in the 12th chapter, Nathan came to David, and just reading from verse 9, Nathan speaks to him and says, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbour, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." Well, the very next chapter, we won't read anything of it, but the very next chapter begins to record the working out of this decree of the sword never departing out of David's house in the case of Amnon's foolishness and sin. And again, we probably know that very well. Amnon lay with Tamar, his sister, or half-sister, who was actually the full sister of Absalom. And for 2 full years, Absalom quietly waited his time, plotting vengeance for his sister, and finally the opportunity came and he slew Amnon. And perhaps it was then that David saw the outworking of God's righteous judgment. Funnily enough, Absalom's name means father of peace, but he was far from that toward David. Yet it would appear that David had some special attachment toward Absalom. Remember David's reaction, don't we, when he was told of Absalom's death. Now, Absalom spent 3 years in exile in Geshur and 2 more in Jerusalem before David is reconciled to him. Then, having returned, Absalom goes about with subtlety and cunningly to steal the hearts of the men of Israel. Just a few pages over in the 15th chapter, we just read the first few verses. "It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, came to the king for judgment, Then Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. So Absalom therefore stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He spoke to them smooth words. It just goes to show how easily people are deceived, aren't they, by a fair show and smooth words. And we know in the very beginning that Eve was deceived through the mouth of the serpent by smooth words. Jesus constantly was asked questions by the scribes and Pharisees, not because they wanted to learn anything. They just wanted to try and trap him in his words. What about our situation, brothers and sisters? Can we relate to that? Do we find perhaps people at work or even around us during the day, do they speak smooth words to us? Or do we also speak smooth words and give a fair show? Well, David, as well as Jesus, found out just how shallow and unstable is human loyalty. Perhaps most of all, in the case of Absalom, regarding human nature, it teaches us to always look with distrust upon our natural desires and then reactions. We know, don't we, from the scriptures that in our flesh dwells no good thing. And I'm afraid there's no getting away from it. We have to critically look at ourselves, especially when taking the emblems. The Apostle Paul speaks of those who compare themselves with themselves and find nothing wrong. It's just in the 2 Corinthians, in the 10th chapter, Paul just says these words towards the end of the chapter. He says in verse 17, Let he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Well, Absalom was strong-willed. He was clever. He was patient. And he was definitely ruthless. Perhaps attributes which could have made him as much as a power for good as he was for evil. If only it had been moved by the wisdom that is from above instead of that which is of the earth. Interestingly, God allowed Absalom to go a certain stage, but then no further. It was just in God's purpose to go a certain stage with Absalom. But when the proper time came, God turned his wisdom to foolishness, and everything that he had taken so long to build just collapsed. Well, like many people who are of the world, Absalom prospered for a little while, but the final chapter of his career revealed him to just be an insignificant tool in the hands of God, who was, by tribulation, shaping the character of a far better man. In similar fashion, brethren and sisters, our trials and tribulations are shaping the characters of each of us to make us far better men and women. David was surrounded by his loyal servants and friends. Hopefully, brethren and sisters, we are the loyal servants and friends of one another. But perhaps more importantly, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we remember today, if we do whatsoever we are commanded. But do we do that? Or are we like Absalom? Do we flatter with smooth words and a fair show? We'd just like to look at one particular incident in the life of David, which we feel shows his true character. And again, it's in the 2nd of Samuel, this time the 16th chapter. And in the 16th chapter, we read there at the 5th verse. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath turned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Now, what was the reaction of the flesh? Well, we can read it, can't we, in the words of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah. What was his first reaction? Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. What is our first reaction when somebody is treating us evil for good? Do we strike out? Not necessarily physically, but verbally. But what was the reaction of the man of the spirit? Well, verse 10. David the king said, what am I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? That was the reaction of the man of the spirit. Weak and human though David was, in many respects, just as we are, he was at heart in full harmony with the mind of God. He realised that these trials were a necessary chastening from God to subdue any unruly desires that he had, and that the better he endured them, the shorter they would have to be. So again, how do we react, brethren and sisters? Unfortunately, I'm afraid I'm not very good at that, and clearly it's something that I have to work on. And because situations and trials, they're different from each one of us, aren't they? Well, for me, brethren and sisters, with the exception, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ, David seems to stand out from all others. Certainly, Moses was an awe-inspiring figure, majestic even. Abraham exemplifies patience, enduring a long and weary pilgrimage with true faith. But it is into the heart and the mind of David that we enter most closely. His life was perhaps a broken and frustrated one. He spent a long period as a hunted fugitive. He was a wanderer away from his family and country. Then after all his wanderings, he finally became king, and he subdued all his enemies. And then he stumbles into a grievous sin which plagues him without respite for the rest of his life. His life, brethren and sisters, was a battle. A battle between the highest and most intimate spiritual conceptions of God on the one hand, and all the strong currents of human nature on the other. Yes, David failed, didn't he? It's true. But he freely and humbly recognised his failures, accepting every form of tribulation with unresentful resignation. David, brethren and sisters, typifies the body of Christ. Those whom Christ came to redeem, the chosen generation. Us, brethren and sisters, if we hold fast that faith with a true heart. The spirit is willing, and certainly our spirit is willing. But we know, don't we, all too often, that the flesh is weak. David was a man after God's own heart, who through much tribulation learnt the way to the kingdom. And of course, he had those great and precious promises made to him. And with the eye of faith, David looked to the king that would rightfully sit on his throne. And so as we now come to share the emblems, brethren and sisters, we turn our attention to the greater son of David, the coming king who will sit on David's throne and rule the whole earth. David learnt by obedience the things he suffered. And Jesus, didn't he? He learnt obedience by the things he suffered. David's heart and mind were right before God, but Jesus' heart and mind were perfect before the Lord his God, even no guile found in his mouth. Jesus' words weren't smooth, they weren't subtle, but they were words of truth and peace and life. And it's his example that we have to try to copy as best we can in our lives day by day. Jesus laid down his life for his friends, his loyal servants. And it's through his perfect sacrifice he has opened the way of salvation and everlasting life for all the faithful. Paul, writing to the Philippians, writes these words in the second chapter regarding Jesus. He says there in the fifth verse, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." He took on him the form of a servant. He wasn't born a servant, he was born the Son of God. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let our life, brethren and sisters, be that of faithful obedience, having our hearts right. And at Christ's judgment seat, brethren and sisters, let us be actually able to echo the last words of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah said, "Remember me, O my God, for good."